You're listening to Wisdom of the Ages, the show that taps into the many expressions of universal, ancestral, and personal wisdom to ignite evolutionary consciousness.
Welcome and blessings. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of the Wisdom of the Ages podcast show, where we invite the sacred into modern day reality. And I love beginning each episode with a wisdom quote, just to ponder. This one is by my guest today, Shalva Aura, and it goes like this. A fully embodied woman is a living expression of divine consciousness, allowing that consciousness to move through her freely without judging it or trying to change it. Just thought that was beautiful, this idea of the Shakti, the flow. So on the way here, I was really thinking about feminine enlightenment and wondering if women actually awaken differently from men. That's something I'd really like to talk about on this episode. So, I mean, certainly women appear to be able to multitask and look after children, make food, do whatever, while men tend to like to focus on a single goal. And I really like Shalva's idea that consciousness simply flows through a woman, the Shakti. So in the Hindu pantheon, Shakti is the divine cosmic feminine energy that can express herself in a number of ways. She can both create and destroy life, and she takes on many forms, including goddesses that you probably know, Parvati, Durga, and Kali. Shakti. Just think about it for a minute. You might want to even flow with it. Shakti, the feminine principle of the universe. After all, a woman can create new life. And so flowing Shakti, the creative, who knows what she might be able to do. So I want to go ahead and formally introduce my guest. Her name is Shalva Aura. She's a spiritual mentor, sacred dance instructor, and founder of Feminine Enlightenment. Isn't that neat? Just think about that for a minute. Feminine Enlightenment, the priestesses are back. I love it. So Shalva has offered guidance, inspiration, education, and support to an international base of over 100 countries worldwide. So feminine enlightenment is happening. Rooted in the Asana and Siddha yoga lineages, Shalva has been teaching in the art of Shakti embodiment and feminine leadership for over 15 years. She is an initiate in the lineage of Nityananda. Now that's important. I just want you, everybody, to hear that. She's an initiate in the lineage of Nityananda. That's the Siddha yoga lineage. And that means that she has roots and foundation and her awakening process is real. She lives with her husband, Joshua, and her two children, Isaiah and Ebony. Hello, hello, Shalva. Can you say a quick hello before our ad break?
Thank you, Ayn, for having me. Hello, everyone. So welcome to be here with you.
Okay, so I know why we have this quick break. You can check her out on feminineenlightenment.com. And you can also go and check out superpowerexperts.com/wisdomoftheages. There are lots of interviews there with many authors, leaders, spiritual teachers, and also my own monologues on spiritual awakening. So when we come back from this short break, I will be speaking with Shalva about Shakti and feminine enlightenment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Tonya Don Rekla, Executive Director of Superpower Experts, and we want to thank each of you for making Superpower Up the number one podcast network for personal development and spiritual growth, because people like you have the courage to say that mindfulness, healthy living, disrupting reality, the pursuit of consciousness, responsible entrepreneurship, and radical parenting matter. We now amass over 1 million downloads monthly in more than 90 countries. Our numbers keep growing because there are far more people willing to live divergently than mass media wants to acknowledge. For you, the change makers, the light bearers, the way showers, we say thank you. If you're ready to take the next step in your evolution, go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz. And as Neva Lee Rekla, our youngest podcaster, likes to remind us, remember, we all have superpowers and we can change the world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages. So today we are talking with brilliant guest Shalva. Hello.
Hi, Anne. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here with all of you today.
I am so curious about the work that you're doing. And so tell us more about feminine enlightenment. What do you mean? What is feminine enlightenment?
This is a great question and a great place to start. So feminine enlightenment is really just what it sounds like. It's a feminine approach to awakening. And this body of work that I've developed and have been teaching for over 15 years now is really based on embodied spirituality. Okay, so it's living in a way that you are able to experience the divine within all of creation. And the first thing to understand is that when I say feminine, I'm not talking about exclusively women or the female form. Okay, this is very important to understand. I'm really talking about something much different than that. And it's a really important distinction to truly understand what we mean by feminine. We really have to start by understanding the masculine. And this is really one of the deep secrets of feminine enlightenment, is how deeply we honor and value the role of the masculine in the context of awakening. And this is really perhaps even counterintuitive given the title of this interview here. So the masculine, as you might have guessed from how I just described the feminine, does not mean man and does not mean male form. When I talk about the masculine and the feminine, I'm really talking about the flow of energy. And this is even deeper than polarity, okay? I'm talking about the very essence of creation itself. The masculine, in its most essential esoteric meaning, really means without form. It's prior to form. It's the void. It's the emptiness. It's the nothing. Mm-hmm. It is that from which all of creation is birthed. So in essence, it is pure consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. So in that context, the feminine, which is in its essence, means with form, is birthed out of the masculine, okay? So the feminine emerges out of the nothing, out of the void, out of that which is prior to itself. So from this understanding, it could really be said that all of creation, in essence, is feminine because it has form.
It's beautiful.
Right? It has energy.
Cool. And you hear it, the dance of Shakti Shiva, the dance of the Ma Blima. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can, yeah, the Ma, the Blima, the nothing, the something, the dance. It's the, you know, you could, there's so many names for it, right? So this feminine is that cosmic life force energy, otherwise known as Shakti. And this dance of Shakti within all of creation, it's truly limitless in the ways that it can express consciousness, right? And the consciousness is that masculine, and it moves into and through the feminine, through creation, which is the Chit Shakti, which is the play of consciousness.
That's so beautiful. So do women awaken differently than men, or is the process the same?
The process is the same essentially. Okay. So it could, because again, the truth of who we are is prior to form, right? It's prior to beingness. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it is the same in that sense. However, there are some differentiating things, which we'll talk about here. So, you know, feminine enlightenment really is a little bit different, right? So what we're looking at, when we really look at all the different enlightenment traditions, a vast majority of them really are more focused on a masculine approach to awakening. And again, I'm not talking about male or female here, okay? I'm talking about the flow and the use of energy. So when you think of an enlightened guru, for example, what do most people think of? They probably think of
sort of transcendent energy, transcended the body-mind complex.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you think of, you know, a sadhu, man or woman, right? Levitating in a cave after years of isolation, right? Like this classic picture of an enlightened person, right? This is like kind of, at least for me, what I think of when I think of that, right? And it's changing, right? In our society, it's changing because we're in this mass awakening time, which is beautiful. But in essence, that's kind of a masculine approach to awakening. And what's important here is the emphasis in the process. The emphasis within this masculine approach to awakening is on meditating until there's nothing left. It's the transcendent. It's the dissolution of the ego, right? Dying into the nothing, right? Merging into the one prior to form. And of course, I want to really emphasize this. This is a widely validated path. So hear me when I say that this masculine approach to awakening is important. It's necessary. It is by all means, it's part of feminine enlightenment as well. So it's not an either or, it's both, okay? But there's another piece to this puzzle here, and it is widely forgotten and underrepresented, and it is feminine enlightenment. And this feminine approach to awakening and spirituality in general gives a voice and an awareness to a more embodied approach. So feminine enlightenment roots into this masculine emptiness prior to form, Yet, in addition to rooting into that masculine emptiness, it also gives this voice and emphasis and importance to form. Okay, so it gives emphasis to all the ways that we relate with form.
Mm-hmm. Hence, so is this known as the journey of descent? Is that what we're talking about?
In a little bit, yes. So it's like that first something out of the nothing, right? So it's just that very birthing out of the nothing from the void into consciousness. It's the energy of creation, right? The energy of creation itself, that moment of light. Okay, right. prior to I am-ness, prior to form, there's this emerging of something from the nothing. And this is really the root. And it brings us back into that void, into that nothing, prior to that creation, into the depth of the truth of who we are, which is prior to form. But it's using form as its kind of river or pathway, so to speak. So mm-hmm. again, we're emphasizing that, you know, form, we're giving importance to form in its role.
Right.
And it's a role of awakening. So that's why we place such emphasis on relationships within the body of work, Feminine Enlightenment, or includes four levels of relationship. So relationship to yourself, relationship to others, relationship to nature, and relationship to God or creation, universe, whatever word you give that. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, form and prior to form, they're two sides of the same coin, yet historically there has been more of an emphasis that's been placed on ignoring form and awakening to that which is prior to form, right?
Or even rejecting form.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Which has been a problem. I love it when I a couple of times I've seen you on Zoom and you have your two children with you. And I think how lovely is it that here's a spiritually awakened woman with her two children and that they're involved in this dance and your husband there in this awakening, this life of awakening together, the householder path. Do you want to describe just for a minute? I think it's good for people to understand that you don't have to go live in a cave, that you really can be with your sacred other and enjoy life to the fullest. And do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Absolutely. Yes. So that, again, that Feminine Enlightenment path acknowledges the power of relationships as a valid spiritual path. And this really, as you said, it is the householder path. So it is the mothers, it is the fathers, the children, the husbands, the wives, the grandchildren, it's your coworkers, it's your neighbors, your lovers, your enemies, it's your family. It's really all of it. So mm-hmm. it's giving a voice to the fact that life is your path to awakening. Whatever is in your life, whomever mm-hmm. is in your life, it's all an opportunity to wake up spiritually. So with every challenge that life presents you, you have the choice to see it as something that isn't fair or something that is too hard or not right or as something that's happening to you rather than for you, right? All these ways that we kind of choose to play victim to our lives and our circumstances, or you can choose to see that as God. You can choose that to see that as divine. You can choose to see that as that experience and that challenge as consciousness animating mm-hmm. form in the most perfect and particular way for your most optimal opportunity for awakening in that moment. I believe that every single moment that we experience in life carries that potential for awakening. And that's really the beauty of Feminine Enlightenment is you're choosing to experience divine within form. And it doesn't always look pretty. It's messy, right? And that's the beauty of it is there's, you know, that phrase, bless this mess, you know? I mean, there's
right.
beauty to that, right? Because again, like you're saying, I'm a mother. I have two young children. My little boy is just turning three. And, you know, it's very messy. I'm up to my ears and, you know, all the fluids right now. Like that's my life. I've got a 7-month-old and two and a half-year-old and we're in all kinds of smells and liquids, you know? And so it's like you can choose to see the screaming and the crying and the, you know, all of it as Shakti, as this gift of awakening. And it doesn't mean that we're always perfect at it, but the opportunities are always there.
You know, I had a really profound moment about 20 years ago when I had little kids and I was a single mom with little kids. And I was just really beside myself because I thought I was supposed to be this great professor or something. And I went to see this Hugging Saint Amici and brought my kids with me. And I said, what is my life purpose and mission? I really need to understand my way forward. And she gave me the most peculiar look. And she was like, to raise your children, don't you know that mother is the divine? So to be a mother is to be an embodiment of the divine. And it just had this massive impact on me. I mean, I just remember turning around looking at my children and I like just like fell even more deeply in love with them. And I'm like, they are my path. You know, they really are my path. And it was incredibly helpful. And I had never heard anyone in the West say that. I mean, it was more, you know, in the West, we tend to think that we have to accomplish certain goals, that we have to work in a certain way. Not that we can, not that a path can unfold, a sacred path can unfold that actually includes the whole family. So I love what you're doing.
Yeah. And I just want to reemphasize that because I think there's so many women and particularly mothers who overgive all the time and who really can benefit from this message, who, you know, maybe feel a little bit purposeless even, you know, just being at home, you know, and I can completely relate to that feeling. And just to remember that you are being given a gift right now with your children and you're being given the gift of awakening, and it's right there for you if you choose to see it. And it's not always easy. I recognize that as well. It is a challenge and it's there. It's there for us. And this is such a powerful path for awakening. It really truly is when you allow it to be, because again, that the breath of God is pulsing through all of creation. So you begin to kind of blur the lines between them and you, and you really begin to open up to a deeper reality of truth, where this whole theory of oneness becomes less theory and more reality based on your own experience of the movement of Shakti through creation.
Mm, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I really hope women and men that are listening to this day can hear that, that, you know, your children can be your spiritual path. So, and your beloved can be too.
Absolutely.
You know, so there are so many opportunities to make an incredible union with consciousness and the divine and form. I also really believe nature is important, and that, you know, in the past, in the Celtic world, they made worship by a river or a stream or a well illegal for quite a long period of time. And it seemed that that did quite a bit of harm to humanity, I believe. What do you feel about nature?
I mean, absolutely. I think that there's the deepest mysteries are hidden right within nature. And that's why all the deep enlightened teachings will say, spend time in nature. You know, see your oneness in nature. And, you know, that is the gift. And it doesn't surprise me that that was banned, because they saw that. You know, it's like, we know as humans, we really do know. And I think we forget that. We do know. And even people that are threatened by that knowingness and that ability to know and the power that comes with that knowing, that want to kind of, you know, have ulterior motives of different kinds of power, you know, they're trying to steer it in a specific direction. It's like, even ulterior agendas and motives can see the power in connection in nature that we have available to us at every moment. Because again, coming back to this topic of oneness, you know, there's so many spiritual people that will say, oh, oneness is this and that, and we're all one. And it's all theoretical. It's all disembodied. It's all a concept, right? It's all coming from the mind, the realm of the mind, right? It's not a living embodied truth. And that's where nature comes into play. It's like nature is embodying the divine consciousness, is embodying Shakti every moment of every day, of every second. It's never not. Mm-hmm. So for us to come back into that remembrance just takes one moment.
Wow. I love it. So, can you describe what Shakti embodiment is?
Sure. So Shakti, as you mentioned earlier, is the divine feminine life force energy, okay? And to be embodied means to express or personify or exemplify in concrete form. So when we put that together, Shakti embodiment really means to personify or give personality to the divine. Mm. Our bodies are literally housing our spirit. We're inspirited with Shakti, or life force energy. And the way that Shakti moves through your being is sacred and unique and special, because it moves through you like no other human being on this planet. And I really want you to take that in for a moment. This God stuff, if you will, is being animated and expressed through your personality. And it's a 100% unique exemplification of the divine, unlike anything else. And this point is so critical to take in on a cellular level, because it means that you have a gift to give to this world simply because there's no one else on this planet who is animating the divine in the same way you are. This means that your perspective is unique to only you. I mean, others may share it, but it's like it's the way that it's moving through your particular being, your sacred rhythm, your sacred design, who you are, how you show up, what you say, how you act, all of it is a sacred expression. So when you really feel into that realization, it really allows yourself to really be lived by this Shakti moving through you. And you truly then become this vessel of light for divine to flow through, which means you're able to give gifts to this world that you didn't even know were there. You didn't even know were in you because you've set your ego aside long enough for this divine Shakti energy to move and pull through you and be a blessing on this planet. It's really powerful, right?
Yeah. I do feel that. And it seems like there are different stages too. It might be interesting for listeners to talk about these different stages, because, you know, some people might be in a state where they really have understood like being in a sort of God merged state. Other people might just be standing by the edge of the ocean going, I'm about ready to stick my toe in. I'm not sure about this.
Right.
So maybe it might be good just to talk about this process, because I'm not quite sure what the difference is between Shakti, Kundalini, and maybe the Shekinah energy, and also how it moves. Is it an upward moving energy, or is it more this energy of descent, or is it both?
Right.
And also, you might just describe the mind-body complex, and then what happens as you move into greater levels of spiritual awakening and consciousness.
Sure. So Shakti is within all of life. A dog barking is Shakti. Okay. A baby crying is Shakti. Making love, immense amount of Shakti, right? So any amount of energy that is pulsing through creation in itself is Shakti. It is stored as awakening potential within the human being in the form of Kundalini at the base of your spine. And when that's awakened, that begins to move through the physical body, whomever it's being awakened through, and it begins to purify and cleanse different nadis and different channels of awakening, purification, so that the awakening process can continue in a deeper way. And as that refinement process happens, what begins to happen is the relationship with the ego, meaning that what you mentioned, the body mind I am complex, that relationship begins to subtly shift. So, you know, you may be starting out having a very concrete identity with or a very concrete understanding of I and what that I means to you, who this I is, whatever your name is, this body, this mind, these emotions, all of this has form and has identity, and you've, you know, created all of these identities over your entire life. And a lot of us come in with a very clear understanding, and we even get taught is, you know, growing up, I can remember recently I was looking through some old yearbooks, and almost all the little comments that people had written in there were never change, don't change, you know, always be you. And looking back on that, I'm like, wow, don't change. What a message to be taught. And it's like, obviously that's a message that was given to them as well. Like, don't change, you know, never change. And the process of light is change, right? The process of evolution and spiritual growth, it is change by definition. Even the every moment of pure consciousness is by definition change when it enters form. It's mm-hmm. changing to be form, right? It has to change on a molecular structure second by a second by nanosecond to even exist in this level of reality. So change by its very nature is present. And so as we evolve and change, we begin to subtly shift our awareness of what this I really is and who this I really is. And really what we come to realize is not necessarily who we are, but who we aren't, right? So we begin to shut away some of the old layers of identification. Like, wow, I held this identity of I'm unlovable for 20 years. And wow, if I let go of that identity, I still exist. Well, what is it that still exists? So you start asking these other questions. Mm-hmm. And Shakti is a process that is immersed within that entire experience of awakening, and is specifically within the human form.
Beautiful. That's a really good definition. So was there a specific event? Was there, did you have an awakening? Was there something that inspired you to go into this work?
So some of you know that I actually, a lot of you won't, but I grew up as a PK, which is a preacher's kid, a pastor's kid. So my father was a Lutheran minister. And, you know, I can remember being 5 or 6 years old from a very, very young age, you know, it's going to Sunday school every week, church every week, and, you know, it was really in it, you know. And I remember one service, they started singing one of the songs was Joy to the World. And this is Lutheran church. And those of you that know Lutheran church, it's a little old school, you know. I mean, you're in the pews, you're at the old school hymnal, like organ, the whole nine, right? It's very traditional. And so Joy to the World was about the best thing that could ever happen for a little kid in a pew, you know? I mean, it was just like the best song ever, right? I mean, it's like Joy to the World. It's like a great, like where I'm singing, I'm like loving it. And I just remember at like 5 or 6 years old, I just had this moment where I was looking around at everybody else because I was having so much fun and I was looking around. Everyone's sitting there with their heads down. And there, I could just feel this sadness like emanating from so many of the people there. And I was just thinking to myself, if everyone's talking to God, why does everyone look so sad? And that moment as a little kid, it really stuck with me. It stuck with me so much that from that, even from that moment, I had this unending need, and it felt like a need to know the divine in my body, to feel the divine, to feel enlivened within my spiritual practice, to feel enlivened by my relationship with God. And so for me, this process really began as a very young child. And, you know, it's all history from there, really. You know, I have been blessed to be with an amazing spiritual teacher, Rabbi Gabriel Cousins, and in the Nityananda lineage, and I've really been blessed to have some amazing mentors in this realm as well. And it's just been a journey. I feel like we get what we need when we need it, you know. And I feel like some of us are just, we come in primed this time, and we come in with a very specific mission, and we're on mission mode even from young children. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely my case. Is from a young child, I was ready to go in that regard. And so, you know, from very early on, that was the case. And, you know, now I've, you know, it's been 15 years teaching embodiment and these Shakti embodiment practices to rising feminine leaders. And I really want to make a point here about rising feminine leaders, because I don't just mean, you know, female entrepreneurs who want to go out and change the world or be the next Oprah, although we definitely work with women like that. But really, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you and everyone else like you who knows deep down that they're meant to lead in some way, large or small. And maybe you're meant to help women or teach or get a message out there or serve in some way. And maybe you don't even know like what that is or how to make that happen. And quite frankly, the how and the what, they're not even important. You know, what's important here is your desire. If you feel in your heart that you have a gift to give and you know you're meant to share your message with those you're meant to serve, that's who I'm talking about. And that's when I say rising feminine leaders, I'm really talking about you and me too. Mm-hmm.
No, it's really true. Was there a specific Kundalini awakening? I'm just wondering here, because it seems that even if that impulse is there as a young child, that I don't know if it was meeting Gabriel and then Dr. Gabriel Cousins and then having a Shaktipat experience, he that's how he passes through that lineage to his initiates. And was there something special that happened to you at that time?
You know, it's an interesting question, because, you know, receiving Shaktipat from a lineage holder was profound beyond words. But the interesting thing about that experience for me was it awakened this part of me that had always been. And what I mean by that is, and maybe some of you can even relate to this, being young, being a child, being in nature, looking at a tree, looking at a flower, looking at a baby, and just having this immense awareness of, I'll say oneness, but it's even deeper than that. There's just this energy that's present, that it just feels, there's no witness, there's no you even having an experience. It simply is just this expression of life. And I remember, I mean, this was so many of my experiences as a young child were just having this expression of life, being feeling so elated within that process, but just being like questioning it almost because I didn't have words for it, didn't have context for what this experience was. And then having Shaktipat, you know, in my early 20s, and then realizing, wow, like this is what that was. Mm-hmm. And kind of connecting the dots a little bit and seeing like this experience of awakening is really, it's more a remembrance of the essence of who we already are. And that is available to all of us at every single moment. It's not like it's like all of a sudden, like for a small percentage, it's you wake up, you're the Eckhart Tolle that goes from 0 to 100, right? But for most of us, it's a more gradual awakening process where we have these moments and then we have these other moments, right? We have this spectrum of awakening. And so just having more and more of those moments of remembrance and then being able to piece those together. So for me, it was more of a gradual unfolding, but it was more of a remembrance of what always was without having context for it as a child.
That's interesting because it seems like in your process of awakening, it's been more the traditional awakening where, you know, some people would say it'd be one chakra at a time or there'd be one level of consciousness at a time that you're starting to understand. And then you would have time to integrate that. So it becomes part of, I don't know, maybe it's an integration or maybe it's a letting go, or is it a combination?
I believe that there's integration that happens in the physical form. Mm-hmm. I believe that the body goes through specific actual energetic and physical changes as the awakening process takes place. Mm-hmm. But there's also integration on subtler levels of beingness. And I think you're right that it is more of a you can say letting go, remembrance. It's awakening to what you're not, right? Because whatever you are, you're not pointing to that, right? It's it's what's looking behind the pointer, right? So it's not, you're not pointing to anything that you are, you're pointing to what you're not. And that's the process is a gradual release and letting go of that which you're not. But at the same time, and this is the feminine enlightenment, is allowing that process and that the gift of the form to move you through that way and to not get caught up in the form, but to use that as a process in your awakening where you're able to see form as the gift that it is to through that awakening process, because it is meant to be blissful. It is, you know, that is our natural state. So the bliss body is part of that, you know, and so awakening to these different levels of non-causal oneness and joy and bliss and beingness are all part of this process and is our birthright, because it's part of the original blueprint of creation is the bliss.
I love it. I remember one time I was in India and I walked out and there was this woman and she was just spinning underneath a tree. And I wondered what was going on with her. She was smiling and happy. And it was almost like light was flying off of her. And I asked someone who was there, I was like, who is this woman? And they said, oh, she's just gone into a state of samadhi. She's in complete and utter bliss. And we'll just hold space for her until she's integrated it. I thought it was fantastic, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's exactly what this is. This is exactly pointing to what that is.
I think it's important in our Western culture, you know, for people to have these conversations so that, you know, in the process, in the East, people understand the process of spiritual enlightenment. You know, they understand, oh, you go through this and you go through that, and there's a breakdown of the body-mind complex and on and on. In the West, there's not, I mean, okay, so Kabbalistically maybe so what would you say about a woman, let's just pick a woman who is a Western woman awakening right now. What would be your advice for her?
Well, what I'll say is, you know, that we are really all here for one purpose, and that's to wake up. Right, we all have a dharma, which is awakening, and we all have a different path to that awakening process. And you know, if you look at women throughout history, you know, we're clannish, right? We like to be around other women, whether we are loving or bickering or anything in between. We just have this need for community and gathering and collective, and it's part of just our nature as I believe just in the female form. That's part of how we are made up. And, you know, within the context of that, you know, there is a different way that we can be, that we can benefit from different tools, I'll just say. You know, for some people, sitting in emptiness and being in that space, man or woman, is going to be your jam. It's going to be how you connect. It's going to be what fuels you and feeds you and where you find the deepest truth in everything. And for other women, it's going to feel so stifling and limiting, and you know, and it's like they feel, they get up and they start dancing and they connect so deeply and so authentically and so beautifully. It's like, whoa. So it just takes a little bit of honoring who you are and what you are and why you're here, because really at the end of the day, you know, it's really the Shakti embodiment piece really is so important. And, you know, we come to this understanding, you know, like that Shakti embodiment is, well, most people haven't heard of it, right? but the context of Shakti embodiment, you know, it really is about enlivening all of life and seeing the awakening process through everything. Like they say, God is in man, or God is in nature, like a hand is in a glove. And then you really, not intellectually understand that, but embody that statement and really get what that means. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about here. That's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah. It does seem like it's a very important time right now for people to find, well, at least one other friend or a little group of people. It doesn't have to be just women, but just a little group of people where you can really share what's going on. Because I think sometimes when you start to share, I remember hearing different people sharing after having a Kundalini awakening, and it was a good thing we were in a sort of therapeutic kind of space, because it would sound like everyone's gone crazy. But that wasn't what was happening. They were really defining what it was like not to be ego identified and to taste consciousness. And that conversation seems to me to be very, very important, because those inquiry sessions actually help you embody the next level of consciousness.
Absolutely. And I believe everything happens for a reason. So if you're listening to this right now, there's a reason for it. There's a reason you showed up here today, and there's a reason you're still listening right now. And then the reason is you're ready. You know, the reason is you're ready to experience the magic and the possibility that life has to offer you on these deeper levels. And you're ready to master that art of Shakti embodiment and really give your gift to the world. And I believe it's your time, you know, and I believe that if you're really ready, you know, to take that next step into the world of Shakti embodiment, I'm here to help. You know, I have a free masterclass. Is it okay to talk about right now?
Yeah, please talk about it.
So I do have a free masterclass available to all of your listeners here today, and it's called The Three Secrets to Shakti Embodiment Mastery, and it's a proven feminine activation success system for conscious women. And you can get access to that for free by going to feminineenlightenment.com/wisdom. So feminineenlightenment.com/wisdom.
That's great. And what would they, if they go and sign up for it, what would happen?
So that is, again, it's a free masterclass. So just go ahead and put your name and email in there, and you'll get immediate access to a free masterclass that's going to give you these three secrets to Shakti embodiment mastery. And that's going to allow you to begin to, if you're just talking about, you know, the person just wants to dip their toe in the ocean, this is a great start. So somebody that's just brand new to all this, that wants to know a little bit more about what is this? I feel drawn to this. I'm not quite sure what it all means yet. I just want to learn more. Mm-hmm. Go here. This is your start. feminineenlightenment.com/wisdom.
Okay. And do you want to talk about your new moon circles too, or how someone might work with you personally?
Sure. So there's, right now I'm still doing a little bit of one-on-one work. It's becoming a little bit less of the focus, but we do right now, I'm offering free new moon circles for women, and I'm taking a little bit more of a Kabbalistic approach to that. So it's, the new moon energies that are, it's not necessarily based astrologically in the same way that we often will go and look at the astrology for the next upcoming thing. It's not quite the exact same way. It's more tuned into the seasons and the cycles of nature, so the sacred rhythms. And what I offer each month is an embodiment practice for women who just want to become more in tune with nature, as we were just talking about, all the magic and the power that nature holds, and the magic and the power that, that Mother Earth holds. And when we connect to her in these ways, there really is some gifts there for us. There really are some gifts there. So this is a really big opportunity for you to just get in there and begin to experience it, to kind of get involved with it. So this is going to give you just a gentle embodiment practice each month that you can begin to work with in the ways that are going to connect you in with the current cycles of the year. So this is more of a seasonal flow, and these are kind of the energies. So like this, you know, with different months are different things. So some months are more inward. Some months are more about taking action. Some months are more about getting that book published, and other months are more about retreating and listening, and other months are more about healing. So it's really a different approach in terms of how are we really meant to be working with her right now? How are we really meant to be working with the cosmos in a deeper way? And what is this energy really calling forth right now on a deep level of listening? So that's available as well. If you go to feminineenlightenment.com, you can join those for free as well.
I think this is really important. It's important to be in a alignment with the elements and just understand, I mean, the earth is also waking up. So if we're going to walk with her and integrate what's going on, this seems like quite important work. What else would they find on feminineenlightenment.com?
So there's a lot there that you can tap into. I also do a lot of work with rising feminine leaders that are looking to step into leadership in a deeper way. I offer a course, a training program on feminine leadership, and specifically around circle facilitation for any women that are interested in leading a local circle or a circle online, and it doesn't necessarily have to be just circles, but any way that you're wanting to step into a leadership position in a little bit more way, you're feeling called to lead in some way, whether that be just a tiny little group in your basement, or you're wanting to be on stage, or you know, teaching in any other way, online or offline, this course kind of gives you some guidelines in terms of how to really step into feminine leadership in a way that is empowering, is aligned, is coming from that feminine place of listening and receptivity and really empowerment in a deep way. So we're not empowering the ego here, we're really empowering the essence of that divine consciousness to flow through you. So it's a process of teaching surrender in the deepest way possible, so that as you're teaching, as you're getting your message out there, it's coming from that deep truth of who you truly are. And that comes through vibration. So what you're really teaching is resonance. You're holding a specific vibration that others around you are then able to match. So you're raising your frequency, thereby raising other people's frequency. So what you're actually teaching has nothing to do with your words, has nothing to do with your credentials, has nothing to do with any of that. What it has to do with is your essence and how well you're able to drop into that essence. So that's also available. And we do that. Right now it's being offered as a live course. We're running that about once a year. So you can go ahead, and that's also available on feminineenlightenment.com. And if it's not open now, just go ahead and join the wait list and you'll be notified when it is open.
I think this is really important. I had a meeting with three Mayan priests in 2012, and we were preparing for the big event, right? The big event in 2012. December 21st. And they came over to me, and they were tiny. They're really, Mayan priests are really about maybe 5 feet tall. And they said to me, "Do you know what's really happening during this time?" And I said, "Oh, please tell me." And they said, "What's really happening is the divine feminine voice is returning to the planet. And it's been 5,125 years since she's really been able to speak. And it's very important that you get out and tell the stories of women and help them wake up."
I just got full body chills as you were saying that. That rings so deeply in my heart, and I believe that to be true as well.
It's a powerful time.
Yes.
So do you have a practice or something that you can share that we could check out right now?
Absolutely. So, again, I'll give you an abbreviated version of kind of my foundational Shakti embodiment practice that I teach to every woman that comes into contact with this work, and that's called the Feminine Enlightenment Meditation. And this practice is really great for self-protection and creating healthy boundaries and increasing your vibration and your light frequency. And it also helps you keeping both grounded and light at the same time. So over time, it increases your overall radiance and your magnetic feminine power. Your magnetic feminine power. And then if you want the full version of this, again, go to feminineenlightenment.com and you can find it there and download that. And there's a full audio file you can get. And because there is more to it than what I'm going to share here, but we're going to just go ahead and give you just kind of the basics so you can get a feeling for the power of this. So go ahead and just start by getting comfortable, closing your eyes, and taking a deep belly breath. Exhaling any tension from your being. Good. Now imagine a molten golden tube of light rising up from the core of Mother Earth. And imagine that tube moving through your body like a corkscrew. So starting with your right foot, moving over to your left foot, and spinning counterclockwise up through the central column of your body, all the way out through the crown of your head. Just feel her pulsing. Now imagine a beam of platinum starlight coming down from the heavens, down from the cosmos, and into the crown of your head, spiraling clockwise down through your body and into the earth. So from your left ear, across your forehead to your right ear, down, 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 corkscrewing down, rooting you into the earth. Now feel these spirals connecting to each other, merging with one another, lighting up the core of your being. And with these two spirals flowing, this golden molten core from the earth and this platinum starlight energy from the cosmos, begin to notice your breath. As you inhale, raise your arms like you're flying with angel wings. Feel your body filling with life force energy. And exhale out through your heart in all directions as you lower your arms, creating this shield of protective light around you in all directions, like a golden bubble of cosmic love and light. And imagine you just kind of moving your arms around, maybe twisting at the hips, and just imagine you painting this cosmic bubble of love and light in all directions. So see it in front of you, behind you, on your sides, underneath you, in every direction. Feel yourself increasing your life force with every breath in, exhaling that love in all directions. And when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes. And I use this practice every day, and it takes me about 45 seconds to do. I'll do it in 3 rounds of breath. So I'll breathe in both spirals simultaneously, centering at that heart. And as I exhale in all directions out through my heart, I'm creating my protective cosmic golden bubble of light and love all around me. And I simply do this 3 times, 3 breaths. And you'd be surprised at how powerful that simple practice can be when you do it constantly every single day. And I like to use that throughout my day as well. Whenever I feel like I need just a little energetic pick-me-up or tune-up, like from sitting at a computer too long or anything like that, just 3 breaths. And again, this full practice integrates with a mantra as well. So be sure that you head over to feminineenlightenment.com to get that full version.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I do feel the golden light around me, and I feel a lot of heat in the back of my neck. That's
yes.
Very interesting.
Yes. So that is kind of, you may feel it in different spots of your body, and that's just where energy is. It's kind of like a wire moving through a little bit too much of a circuit, so it gets a little overheated. So as that Shakti begins to move through, if you are experiencing heat or different sensations in different areas of your body, just know that the Shakti is moving in that area and it's going to open up over time. So just allow that process to take place.
How beautiful. How beautiful. Thank you for all this incredible work you're doing in the world. And we've said your website many times. You can say it again.
Sure. FeminineEnlightenment.com is the website. And if you'd like to get that free Shakti Embodiment Mastery Master Course, go ahead and go to FeminineEnlightenment.com/wisdom.
Okay. So that is incredible. I don't know if you have any last words for anybody here, but if you have a message that you're called to share with the listeners.
You know, I'll leave you with this. One embodied moment is all it takes. One embodied moment is all it takes to make a difference, to change a life, to make someone's day, to experience love. One embodied moment is all it takes to awaken. And I'll leave you with that.
That's so beautiful. It's so true. You know, we can just sense our arms and legs and then just be with our mother or be with our beloved and just, yes. Wow. Welcome to a new paradigm, right? This is the new paradigm.
Look out, world. The women are coming. The women are awakening.
The women are awakening.
The world is awakening. And that's one thing, if I could just say one final thing, just to debunk it. You know, feminine enlightenment is not just for women. Feminine enlightenment is for everyone. You know, feminine enlightenment is really more than just about, you know, Shakti and women. And, you know, we think about that all the time, right? That it's just happens to be for women. But really, you know, well, it's really... it's you're being animated. The divine is animating through form. So it's that play of consciousness or the movement of energy to flow through your entire being. It's enlivening your spirit in that process. So the feminine essence is really, it's about radiating that cosmic rainbow of life and light through everything. And so it's about animating and expressing that love and light, where that masculine is about holding space for that love and light to move. So no matter where you are, no matter who you are, you can benefit from Shakti embodiment because you're choosing to allow that power of the divine life force energy to move through your body and be a blessing to the world in your unique and particular way.
You know, I just have to add something, maybe to anchor here at the end, but my husband is a yogi and we moved to Virginia, and he decided to go visit a Tibetan monk that lives here named Tenzin Wagpol Rinpoche. And we both went over and discovered that they have an 18,000-year unbroken worship of the goddess. It's a lineage where they worship the goddess for 18,000 years, which I thought was pretty neat. I thought all goddess lineages had been broken, but this is one that's completely unbroken. So he actually stayed and did a week-long retreat with Tenzin. And when I went to pick him up, I said, "How are you?" And he goes, "I have become the goddess," right? And he actually created a goddess temple in our barn, which I just love. So now we've got this goddess temple. And John Patrick is my husband. He's a former middle linebacker. He played with the Jets and the Bears. So he's a guy. He's a real guy. He's a toughie. But he really had this profound experience of what it was for the rainbow radiance to pour through him and to feel his transcendent. He tends to go a little more transcendent, but he actually felt his full embodiment and loved it.
Yes. So, I love that story. That couldn't have been a more perfect story to end on. Shakti embodiment is for everyone. It's simply the goddess, the life force moving through you and awakening you. And it's a beautiful process, whether you're in a man's body or a woman's body or anything. It's for all of creation.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We've run out of time, but I hope maybe at some point you'll come back on and speak some more.
I would love to. Thank you so much, Ayn, for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all the good work you're doing. And thank you to all the listeners as well. So you've been listening to Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages. And if you want to find out more books about infinite, actually Gabriel Cousins is going to have a book out really soon. And he describes his enlightenment in a book that he has coming out called Into the Nothing. It comes out with my publishing company, infinitelightpublishing.com. So definitely check that out too. So until we meet again, may wisdom reveal its secrets to you one message at a time. Many blessings.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.